Hi everyone, my name is Ksenia, this is Naomi, and we are going to talk about something that we are just working right now on. The chat mail, what is it? It's a big teaser, so we are going to open up the black box of what is chat mail server a little bit later. We are going to talk about security sensitive helplines and activist groups and how they can use DeltaChat and our chat mail instances for their work. And actually, for us, it's a very long-standing issue. How do we connect to users? Do we have to connect to them, like looking for them somewhere? Or can we develop together with them from the very, very beginning? And DeltaChat has always been informed by working with, developing with users and not for them. And the first thing, I think, where we met with Holger and other people from DeltaChat project was around this big European project, Next Leap. We were trying to understand how users of secure messaging apps feel about security, what they really need, what they are afraid of, how they understand or not different security protocol properties, and things like that. And I did 52 interviews with users from different countries. I did a matrix of like, okay, high-risk people with low technology, low-risk people with high technological awareness and stuff like that. But in the end, after these interviews from with people from Ukraine, where the war was already going on, because it started in 2014 and not in 2022, Syria, Tunis, Russia, Belarus, and all over the place, including Canada, US, France, Germany, so low-risk-ish countries, we understood very fast that there was a gap between what cryptographers and designers of crypto protocols thought of being the real threats and what people were experiencing. We did a whole bunch of weird workshops, like asking them to draw encryption. This is a very nice like key exchange explained with colors. I really like this one. And the person who did it is an artist from Ukraine. She's now in exile. And this is how she tried to explain encryption itself. Like, something is going on that makes my message unreadable from outside. Here as well, they represented it as in a form of puzzle that you connect with another piece and then you can understand what's there. So it was interesting to probe how users really feel about security, what they need, and how we can actually bring it further to them in an app, multi-platform, multi-tool, multi-device that can be used by real organizations in real high-risk contexts. So we started to work with several groups in different contexts, in different countries, and we found out by doing user research that people are all the time in this multi-tool setting. They have a lot of messaging apps and they don't want to have one app, and we are not going to replace everyone, and this is not our goal. And they have a very specific organizational structure, and this is important. They have many volunteers that tune in and out from the organization. So if you can imagine an NGO, a European human rights organization that has a chief officer for this and that, they can apply security policy to all of the members, and they will follow the security policy, more or less. They will have audits, they will have individual risk analysis, threat modeling, and other things. These organizations that are more grassroots, more decentralized, working with volunteers from outside, they don't have the capacity to imply these policies on everyone. And they have a patchwork of tools. They use Google Docs, and this is something that I cannot judge them for. Interesting observation, Russians and Ukrainians trust Google because Google is American, and Russian high-risk anti-war activists trust Google because it's American. You know, it won't give your data to Russian government. So some weird configurations of tools for us, free software activists and developers, it's maybe weird. For them, it is normal. They use Telegram bots a lot. So people who help military draft evaders, for example. One of our groups that we work with help people to not go to the army, to not fight against Ukraine. It's like Russian men who want to evade. They use Telegram bots. They outsource to some Telegram bot that was done by a group of people with a server that is in Russia, as we found out in the end. So they just delegate a lot of things to these doodles, calendars, ticketing systems, more than 3 email accounts. What do we do about this? How can DeltaChat be used for these high-risk users in such a patchwork? So first of all, it is a decentralized tool, and this helped us at some point when Russian Roskomnadzor asked us to give the data, you know, give us your users' data. Well, we don't know. We don't have this because people use whatever email provider they want.
Maybe who has heard of DeltaChat?
Yes, so I'm introducing DeltaChat as a messaging app based on email. You want to ask?
Yeah, who here has heard about DeltaChat so far and has used it maybe? Okay, actually that's quite a lot. Maybe like a short summary for the rest of you. It's an email client which looks like a chat app. So we have a lot of different features here. And it's also something which is useful for others.
Yeah, so in this context, because it's a security track, we focus on how it can be used by people whose security demands are very high. And the idea of it being decentralized and no need in phone numbers is very important for our users. Like in Russia, you cannot get a SIM card without having your passport shown to the authorities or to the providers. And it's also shut down resilient. We saw it in Belarus in 2020 when DeltaChat was still working. We had to hop from one port to another, but finally, in the end, it still worked when the massive throttling with mobile traffic reduced to like 10%, we still could deliver messages there. So how helplines can actually use DeltaChat? First of all, it became possible for them to create an account very, very fast with random address. Random means no need to put your name in there, no need to use your regular email that is associated with your banking, with your everyday like job activities. We encourage these helplines to use ephemeral addresses, and we even have some tested work around, for example, for a mission. When people are going to document war crimes, they generate an account that will disappear in 20 days, in 10 days, in 5 days from the server and from the app itself. So it's also guaranteed end-to-end encryption now in DeltaChat. We are very happy because it makes it impossible for people from a chatmail instance to send unencrypted email out there. And Naimi will tell a little bit more about how these helplines can collectively manage their addresses using DeltaChat.
Yeah. So one thing we recently developed, it's still like quite an experimental project, is a team bot. It's basically a DeltaChat bot, so an email bot which